It is now 18 minutes before 11 o'clock, and we work in Pittsburgh Public Schools quite a bit. In fact, we're at University Prep in the Hill District daily and have been for the past three semesters. This year, we've worked in so many different schools, whether it be Pittsburgh, Manchester, or King, or Allegheny. We've also spent time at Pittsburgh Linden and time at Peabody, a school we're going to miss a great deal. Today, you're going to get a chance to meet two kids from Pittsburgh Public Schools, both in 10th grade, one from Carrick and one from Langley. And one of the things that gives us great pleasure is to help call attention to some of the great things happening in the arts world, including strong writing in schools. Diane Carroll is here today, who is a curriculum specialist for Pittsburgh Public Schools. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing quite well, thank you.
And tell me a little bit, it's English and Language Arts?
Yes, I'm a curriculum specialist for English and Language Arts, but the component for the showcases this year is the Literary Arts component. And the theme for this year's All City Art Showcase is My Story, Our World, Celebrating 21st Century Learning Through Arts and Culture.
Well, that's terrific and a very great thing that you've done to create for kids, a thing that you've done, I mean, to actually promote writing. And also, you know, when I was in 10th grade, I can remember very well loving to write, absolutely adoring writing, but having the feeling that it wasn't really going anywhere. And one of the nice things about the art showcase is a community gets to see what's been written, not just a family member or two, but a whole group of folks who care to see it. And that's got to be a wonderful feeling for folks.
It is. And traditionally, the Pittsburgh Public Schools has celebrated visual and performing arts, but this event has evolved into including not only the literary arts, but English as a second language and world languages as well. So we're excited. The Wordsmith is online, and we have over 80 submissions of students who have submitted writings.
Oh, that's great. Now, you say the Wordsmith is online. Do you mean that literally, that you can go and look at the writing?
Yes, you can, yes. And they can access it at www.k12.pa.us/allcityarts.
Oh, that's fantastic. So the pieces that you hear today, you'll be able, I think, one of them you'll be able to access and read, and there are also many, many other pieces
You
can look at as well.
Yes.
How many all told are there?
85.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, let's meet both of our students, and first, just for a quick introduction, we'll say hello to Quinice. Is it Pringy?
Pringle.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Somehow the L is off of your name here on what I'm reading. But mm-hmm. Quinice, you go to Carrick, Langley. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
What community do you live in?
I'm Sheridan.
And it's nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too.
Tell me, why writing? Why do you enjoy writing so much?
I enjoy writing because it's just like acting, and I want to become an actor one day. And it's like I get to put myself in somebody else's shoes and live through them, you know, tell their story, or, you know, just become a different person, like get away from all my problems or troubles and everything. It just takes me to a better place. And I'm just, when I write, I'm just in the zone. I'm happy.
So when you're writing, do you often assume the character of somebody else in the story or in what you're writing, or are you writing more from firsthand experience? Or maybe both?
Yeah, a little bit of both.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's interesting. So if one were to read something you wrote, it wouldn't necessarily be true, but it could be realistic?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Would you like to say hello to anybody who might be listening on the radio or here?
I just have to say hello to everybody, and thank you for listening.
Excellent. And we'll hear the piece you wrote in just a moment. But mm-hmm. first, we're going to turn. I mentioned Carrick before, and that's because I was getting ahead of myself when I did so. But we're going to meet Lindsay Brame, who is also in 10th grade, but not for long at Carrick.
Yeah.
You'll be heading off to 11th soon. And tell me a little bit about your writing. And you wrote a fairy tale, which we're going to hear. Do you like to write fiction more than stories of personal experience?
I like a little bit of both, I guess, because fiction, you can make anything happen. Like, you don't have to follow any rules or anything. And it's always good to write about a lesson to help other people. So if you add, like, if you add up both of them and put in and you make something that, like, it could cheer somebody up and it could be important to somebody, it's worth it.
So you're thinking a lot about your audience as you write.
Yeah.
And there are reasons for doing both as writing. Sometimes when people write, it's more cathartic and more trying to just work something out and present it. Other times you're really focused on a specific audience. Do you ever do the other kind of writing where you don't even think too much about audience at all and just pour your heart out without regard to who may or may not read it or enjoy it?
Yeah, a lot of, I have like a split personality when I write. I'll either be amazingly deep or like just pour my heart out, and sometimes it doesn't make sense, sometimes just it's jumbled up like my mind or something, or other times I'll just write like from the heart, or sometimes if it's like a joke, if it has to, it just depends on the, like, what kind of day I'm having, and it just, I don't know how to explain it. It's just in the moment.
I think you did a great job of explaining it. I think good writing takes honesty. And in essence, I think that's what you're saying. And I think sometimes writing, even without an audience in mind, deserves an audience, because it's almost like reality television. It's reality writing. People get a window into you regardless of what you've decided to, whether you're geared to an audience or not. Is there anybody you'd like to say hello to or acknowledge?
I just want to say hi to my mom for coming with me.
Great. Is that her out there? I think I see her.
Yeah.
There she is. Excellent. And we're going to hear your story first and in just a moment. But first, we're going to hear from your teacher who happens to be here. And I'm glad she is. This is Marianne Novak. Hello. How are you?
Okay.
What can you tell me about Lindsay and about writing at Carrick?
Well, a lot of the students come into the class thinking that writing is something easy. And in reality, writing is a process. Writing takes time. And Lindsay's been more than willing to go through that process and revise and take suggestions from her peers, take suggestions from me, listen to herself, to be willing to revise that piece, to push it towards some level of perfection. Perhaps not perfection, but finalization.
How long have you been teaching?
8 years.
And do you have a sense of what's changed in the last 8 years from your perspective?
Well, I really advocated for this creative writing course that I'm teaching, because I think every student has a voice. They have a story to tell. And they come from all different walks of life. And I think it's very important that they put those thoughts and those ideas down into words.
Well, that's terrific. You've summarized that so well. And we'll all talk again in just a moment. But let's get ready now to hear Lindsay Brame's story. Now, this is an original fairy tale, and I happen to have the title. It's called Beauty is in the Eye of the Beholder. And whenever you're ready, we're all ready to hear you tell us a story.
All right. Yeah. Once upon a time, there was a young girl by the name of Hannah, who was the kindest, sweetest, and gentlest girl in all of Can't Dance Well. But she was ugly. She was definitely, hands down, the ugliest girl in all of the land. Because of this, people tended to avoid her. So in turn, Hannah befriended all the animals on her father's farm, for they were a lot less judgmental. Every day she would wake up, eat, work, and eat, and return to her bed by nightfall. And every night she would pray that somehow she'd be given a friend to soothe her loneliness. Then she would cry herself to sleep, drowning her ugliness from the rest of the world. However, one day her prayer seemed to be answered. The Prince of Can't Dance While was moseying around the peasant courtiers looking for a bride. He came to Hannah's little cottage and knocked on the door sternly. Hannah rushed to the door, but when she appeared, the prince squealed in fright. Oh, what is that? Hannah's eyes welled up with hurt, and she scurried to the pond in the back of her yard. She was sprawled out on a riverstone rock when a humongous yet disgusting tomato caterpillar appeared. Hey, the bug yapped at Hannah. Hannah screamed when she looked up and saw the scary caterpillar. She never thought there could be anyone or anything uglier than her. What do you want? Hannah snapped, but instantly felt bad. It wasn't the caterpillar's fault she was so ugly. Why are you crying all over my house? The caterpillar asked angrily, but felt immensely bad because the girl looked like an extensive mess. I am the ugliest girl in all of Can't Dance Well, she cried, and the tears flooded the caterpillar's personal space. No, come on, you're not. I know someone uglier, the caterpillar said as he moved closer to Hannah. Who? Hannah looked up and sniffled. The caterpillar pointed to himself with a mock grin. Hannah giggled and let the caterpillar crawl into her palms. Hey, I know this guy who is a professional. He might be able to help you with your situation. It might cost you, though. Anything, I'll do anything to be beautiful, Hannah cried with joy. The caterpillar explained that below this pond was a grotto, and in the grotto lived a magical sorcerer. He could remedy her problems. Hannah jumped up and down and hugged the caterpillar tightly. Thank you so much, she squealed. Hey, I'm coming with you, the caterpillar chuckled. And by the way, the name's Chad. Well, how do we get to the sorcerer, Chad? She looked around her vacant backyard. She still couldn't believe she was talking to a caterpillar of all animals. Okay, well, we've got to dive 8 feet under this pond to reach the grotto, as he braced himself for the dive. Hannah couldn't contain her excitement. She scooped Chad up, and together they dove into the scummy pond. And soon, a mystical-looking grotto came into view. The water began to descend, and soon they washed up on shore. The sorcerer was an old, long-limbed man with the beard of a sunflower stem. He wore a purple shawl over his thin shoulders, and he had these mystical azure eyes. The wrinkles on his face were like the lines on a treasure map, telling the story of the many journeys over his centuries. He was staring at Hannah with long, gazing eyes as she was gulping air into her lungs. Can you make me beautiful? Hannah gaped. The sorcerer caressed his beard carefully. This girl was very ugly. He'd need at least an extra large dose of his secret potion. But what could she offer him in return that he didn't already have? She pleaded. Kind sir, I will do anything, please. The sorcerer snapped his fingers. A kind heart, that's what he would ask for. Well, sure. The sorcerer slithered around like the snake he was. But for a vial of anti-ugliness, I demand your heart. Hannah gasped. But I won't be able to live without it. No. The sorcerer rolled his eyes. I meant the kindness of your heart. Hannah didn't think it was a big deal. She would be gorgeous and satisfied. Who would get hurt? So she agreed. The sorcerer poofed up the vial of potion and held it out in his hand for Hannah's taking. As soon as Hannah drank the potion, there was a flash-like spark. Her body began to feel like a straw as it twisted and morphed into something else. The transition was complete and she felt like a newborn. Hannah quickly got up and jogged over to the pond and gazed at her reflection. Her gap teeth were replaced by straight pearly whites. Her scraggly mess of a black mop was now long, sleek, and shiny. Her body looked normal, no longer pear-shaped. She was beautiful. But she had felt no urge from within to thank the sorcerer. Chad sat on the rocks staring at her in amazement. It was like she was a whole other person. Hannah began laughing and smiling and realized she had to get back to her house. She didn't even look back as she dove into the pond, eagerly waiting to flaunt her newfound beauty. She even realized she brought Chad on the rock. She's going to be a handful, the sorcerer said. Here, we'll send you to watch her. He gestured to the caterpillar, and with a flick of his wrist, he turned Chad into a handsome young man. The caterpillar stared at himself in awe. It was what he always dreamed to look like as a human. Long, reddish-brown hair, piercing green eyes, muscular body. He was a dream. Chad, listen closely. You must get the maiden to fall in love with you if you want to stay like this. Here's the catch. You only have 36 hours. You have to get here get her to realize that beauty is not just on the outside, but also on the inside. Chad nodded and dove into the pond, since he didn't have much time before the spell would deteriorate. Meanwhile, Hannah was walking around Can't Dance Well with her new arrogant attitude. People actually acknowledged her now. Guys mostly catcalled and offered to buy her goats, while girls really scoffed about who she was and where she came from. All in all, Hannah loved the new attention she was getting. Meanwhile, the rude and devious prince was still wandering around looking for a wife. He was almost about ready to give up when he saw the most beautiful woman in all the land sashay by him. He ran to her side and grabbed her arm. "Oh, fair maiden!" Hannah gasped in shock and turned around. It was the disgusting prince that had called her ugly. "Well, let's see who's ugly now," Hannah thought bitterly. "Ew, what is that?" Hannah shouted in disgust. "What, is there something on my face?" The prince eagerly tried wiping off any unwanted dirt particles. "It's just your face in general. It's repulsive. Now let me go." Hannah whipped her arm out of the prince's grasp and hustled away, secretly smiling to herself. Why had the prince that can't dance well when she could have someone greater, like an emperor, for instance? Hannah continued walking around the town square, hoping to buy new clothes for her wardrobe with her new beautiful discount. Of course, all the male shopkeepers had asked to give her everything for an extremely low price, or even free. Hannah couldn't refuse, so she gave them her shy smile, and their hearts melted. She came to a stand and found a silk emerald dress. Hannah's fingers grazed the soft fabric and instantly decided to buy it. She looked at the shopkeeper, who she recognized as the old lady who grew peaches up the road from her house. The old woman had always been kind to Hannah, and maybe she would decide to give her the article of clothing for free. "Good woman, how much for the dress?" Hannah cooed sweetly. 30 shillings, the woman said morosely. "Good woman, I do not have that much. Could you maybe lower to 15? 30 shillings. Hannah tugged on her dark locks. This was getting irritating. "Look, can I just get the dress for 15? Hannah snapped. 30 shillings, the woman repeated one last time. Hannah felt a violent spark arise from inside of her. She grabbed the dress and ripped it in half. "There's your 30 shillings, she sneered and walked away as the old woman glared at Hannah behind the stand. Chad was hiding in the bushes near, listening to them bicker. Of course a prince wouldn't be good enough for her. She needed an emperor. So he would have to pretend to be an emperor to get her attention. Excuse me, I fear I've lost my way. My carriage has broken down on the nearest road, and I had to walk here. Where am I?" Hannah glanced at this handsome stranger. He was gorgeous, and he looked like wealthy. He would do. "Can't dance well," Hannah smiled smoothly. "And my name is Hannah Goodweather, at your service, my lord." "Well, hello there, Hannah. You are indeed a fine maiden." He kissed her hand, and she giggled. "I might just have to take you back to my palace." "I'll go anywhere as long as it's with you," she beamed as she wrapped herself around his arm, and they walked toward the emperor's broken carriage.
Oh, that was beautifully done and nicely read.
Thanks.
It's not always easy to read what you've written. Hey, you had a lot of great analogies and metaphors in there,
yeah.
Which was fun, like the face with lines like a treasure map really stuck out. Congratulations. Is there anything else you wanted to say?
Not really. I just came out of the fairy tale. Like.
Well, I hope you keep writing. Thanks. And it would be great to see you back sometime as well. In just a moment, you're going to get a chance to hear the second piece that we're going to feature this morning from Quinny Springle from Langley. The person you just heard was Lindsay Brame from Carrick. You're listening to the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings at 88.3 WRCT Pittsburgh, 90.1 WIUP FM Indiana, 90.7 WMCO New Concord, Ohio, 91.1 WSAJ Grove City, 91.7 WNJR Washington, 91.7 WCUC Clarion, PCTV, Comcast 21, Verizon 47 Pittsburgh, and slbradio.org, where it's always Saturday. The National Weather Service has issued a flash flood watch for 2 p.m. this afternoon through this evening for Allegheny, Armstrong, Beaver, Butler, Clarion, Fayette, Forest, Green, Indiana, Jefferson, Lawrence, Mercer, Venango, Washington, and Westmoreland counties in Pennsylvania. and Carroll, Columbiana, Harrison, Jefferson, Muskingum, and Tuscarawas counties in Ohio. There's a 70 to 80% chance of thunderstorms throughout the weekend. High today, 76 degrees. Low tonight, 57 after a sunset at 8:29. Tomorrow's high around 70, currently at 64 in Grove City, Washington, and Indiana, 66 in New Concord, Ohio, 63 in Clarion, and 64 at our studios in historic Allegheny Square in the Children's Museum of Pittsburgh. If you're just tuning in, we're showcasing writing from the All City Arts Showcase. Ben Shannon will be here to perform in just a few moments. But first, we have another bit of writing that we want to take a moment and celebrate, and that is the work done by Quinice Pringle. And before we hear from Quinice, I just want to turn back for a moment to Diane Carroll, who has helped coordinate all of this work through the English and Language Arts work that she does as a curriculum specialist for Pittsburgh Public Schools. This must make you really just beam with pride.
Very proud. And to see all the hard work that these literary artists have done throughout the year to have it culminate in this way is just exciting. Some of the other pieces that are in the Wordsmith are also being enlarged, and they are going to be on display at the different locations throughout next week during our showcase event.
And can you mention what some of those locations are?
Yes.
Or how we can get a list of them?
Well, there were some postcards that went out to various homes. It's also on our website. But starting last night, Pittsburgh Kappa 612 are going to be hosting several vocal and orchestral events. Monday as well. On Wednesday, we'll be at the Children's Museum right here, along with the Pittsburgh Allegheny on that same night from 4 to 9. And on May 19th, we'll be at Manchester Craftsman's Guild.
Terrific. And now we're going to turn to Quinice Pringle. Can you tell me what you've written is called With No Face, Who Am I? It's a personal
yes.
narrative.
Mm-hmm.
And is there anything you need to say about it before you read?
No, I think it says it all for itself.
That's good writing, should. So here is Quinice Pringle.
Okay. With no face, who am I? I've never seen my face, but I know I'm beautiful. How do I really know? My mother would be one to tell me what would keep me happy, right? I've never cut my hair so it puddles around my feet. I've never cut my nails so they rip my skin when I touch my body the wrong way. Am I just another being on this earth? Am I just another unknown to the world? I don't know. I've never seen my face, but I know I'm beautiful. I can feel it. My nose, small and pudgy. My eyes, a shimmer of blue. My hair, long and blonde. Fumbling, I stub a toe. I hear a creak and tug. I enter and reach for the light switch. I can feel the light on my skin. The warmness of the air now, the faint warming of my nose and cheeks. I sit on the toilet, enjoying the cold porcelain towels on my feet. Tap, tap, tap. I love the sound. It makes me feel normal, maybe, a part of something bigger than this black world. I stand and feel for the piece of glass that will reveal who I am. I strain to see what the others do, but just black. That's all. I blink, drag my feet in direction of the flesher once again. I sit, my company sliding from my eyes in a hurry to leave me, the girl who sees nothing. I sigh. I've lost track of my visits to the mirror on the wall. She's never there looking back at me. I stand, ready to face the round portal again. I still see nothing. I flick the switch I feel first. My skin cools a few degrees. I feel for the little word underneath the switch. O-F-F. Just to make sure. 1, 2, 3. 1 foot in front of the other. 4, 5, 6, 7. I climb on my bed and sit to ready my hair for bed with my silver brush. The coldness reveals its silver. No other color or metal can hold coldness like silver does. My mother enters. Her light stride gives her away. A dancer's tread. Grace? Mother? Do you need anything? I'm fine. About to call it a night. I hear her close. a gentle swipe of her hand from my forehead to my chin. You are beautiful, our angel. She kisses my closed eyes. I know I'm beautiful, but who is this beautiful person, dear angel? Thank you, mother. I feel her nod. Kelly, farther now. In here, Nick. Hey, my grace angel. I smile, turning towards his voice. Hey, Papa. He kisses my cheek. Well, we just came to say goodnight, honey. Night. I listen. Click. I'm alone again. I know it's dark. My room has an unusual chill in the air. I reach for my pack of matches in my drawer, right next to my book of Braille. I light my lavender candle, much better. I lay back and close my eyes, thinking, who am I? Without a face, who am I? I sit up and put my slippers on. I'm at my closet. All my clothes, my shoes, my old diary, everything in here, mine. I kneel on the floor, my knee on something soft. I pick it up and feel its body. It has a tail, two button eyes, a stitched mouth and nose, long arms and legs. My old sock monkey. I named him Drew. I hug him close to my chest, tears of joy and sadness running down my cheeks. I remember how he looked, brown all around except for his red shirt and feet, a torn ear from too many snags in the fence I climbed under to get to Ava's house, a hole in his back from Grandpa's Siberian Husky, nail polish on his eyes from me thinking it was the makeup Mama put on when she and Papa went out for a special night. Everything about him. I lay back and cry. In this moment, I know who I am. I know that I am beautiful. I am a sense of heat, a book of Braille. I am long blonde hair. I am an angel. I am a sock monkey. I am an old diary. I am blind. I am the daughter of Callie and Nick. I am the girl with no face in the mirror. Grace Ward.
That was incredible. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That was Quinice Pringle. Wow. Have you met a blind person?
I know a few.
I do too. That was well done. Is there anything else that any of you would like to add? And I'm going to start with you, Quinice, since you just finished reading.
I'd like to thank my family for supporting my writing and God for helping me get recognized and be able to be here today to share my reading.
And would you like to add anything at all? Anything else you'd like to add, Lindsay? You did such a great job as well. Thank you.
I'd like to thank my family, too, for being here and supporting me throughout everything that I've been through.
Thanks to you both. And I'll turn to our teacher, Mrs. Novak, and also to Diane Carroll, Marianne Novak. Anything else you'd like to pass along?
Wonderful work.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
Diane,
and we thank you for this forum to present this.
Well, it's our pleasure.
It's my listening area.
Thanks. And stop by the website. We have put a link to it. It's ppsk12.pa.us/pps. You'll find it there, or you can just go to slbradio.org and click on the link, and it'll take you right there. Our thanks. Ben Shannon is here, and he's going to be performing in just about 5 minutes at the Saturday Light Brigade.